From the bizarre world of the paranormal to the sinister secrets of the U.S. government, the Black Vault has become known worldwide as the premier spot for anything and everything conspiracy. Now, join me, John Greenwald Jr., as we dive into the research together in hopes to decipher these mysteries. This is the Black Vault Radio. That's right, this is the Black Vault Radio. I am your host, John Greenwald Jr. Please forgive me for being slightly nasally this evening. Unfortunately, I'm getting over that killer bug that's going through and just kind of tearing through all the offices here in Southern California and from what I hear many other places throughout the nation. So I hope you guys are healthy this evening, and I hope you are enjoying this spooky Halloween night. Can you guys believe it's October 31st already? Kind of sends chills because the holidays, meaning Thanksgiving, then Christmas, Hanukkah, and whatever you might celebrate in December is right around the corner. But I guess sending chills is kind of fitting here on Halloween evening. Dr. Joy Jeffries-Pugh is my guest. It's going to be a very interesting show for Halloween night. Her book, Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil, 666, was released not too long ago, based on her life's research, and stretches to about 500 pages of some very interesting material. I'm very eager to talk to Dr. Pugh because, you know, this whole topic does interest me, and I hope on Halloween evening, not that standard ghost show that you might hear on many other stations, this one's just a little bit different, so hopefully you'll enjoy it. A couple things to talk about, though, before we get started. The headlines across the world, really, this is really kind of going around the globe. The Democratic debate was last night, and there was a very interesting question that came up to Dennis Kucinich, who was asked about his UFO sighting at Shirley MacLaine's house that has been recently published in a book, and he absolutely said yes. I was very happy to see that, and just watched the video. In fact, I put it on the Black Vault so you guys can download it and actually see this for yourself, because as many of you know, I try not to make this a political show, although politics always do play a role in just about everything and anything we talk about here on BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. No secret that I'm a Republican. I hesitate saying that because God knows what kind of letters that I'm going to get. But I do watch eagerly both sides of debates, whichever political party is in the spotlight at that particular time. I always do enjoy watching. And Kucinich, when he was asked about the UFO, I found it very interesting because if you really listen, it obviously is about what he says, but listen to the background and listen to the laughs. And I think it's absolutely ridiculous, the reaction from the people in the crowd. I mean, yeah, it might be ha-ha in the very beginning of the question because you're not really sure if it's a joke question or very serious. But then I think it's kind of obvious it's a very serious question. And Kucinich says, yes, he saw a UFO, and everybody laughs again. And he says, hey, this was an unidentified flying objects. Unidentified flying object. And he then brings up another point, which I think is definitely worthy of making, and not many people realize that President Jimmy Carter saw a UFO. In fact, he didn't mention this, but Ronald Reagan was known to have a UFO sighting. And here's another political figure who's asked this question. It's just ridiculed. It's laughed away. They pass it off to Obama. Unfortunately, I haven't found at the recording of this show, I haven't found that video of Obama's response, just found Kucinich's response. But of course, he then, as the politician he is, turns it back to the American people and the people on Earth, not out there, and completely dodges the question. It's very interesting. I don't know if this topic's going to come up again in either a debate or in the political arena. I'm eager to find out because it is a very important topic and one that's been ignored. And I was pleasantly surprised to see that it was brought up in the debate, and even more so, surprised that he actually answered the question. Well, download the video. Listen to some cool music here on theblackvault.com or wherever you might be listening to Black Vault Radio. Head to theblackvault.com if you're not there already and download that video. Let me know what you think. We'll be right back with Dr. Joy Pugh on her new book. Stay tuned. Happy Halloween. Be safe.
Welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. I am your host, John Greenwald Jr. Joining me is Dr. Joy Jeffries-Pugh, author of a new book called Eden. I want to make sure I get the full title right. Eden, the knowledge of, and I'm having trouble reading the title here on the computer, The Knowledge of Good and Evil 666. Dr. Joy, thank you so much for joining me here on BVRN. Did I get your title right?
That's correct.
Fantastic. Well, great. Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil 666. Let me tell you, I have looked at a rundown of the subjects that are dealt with in this book, and I'm very much looking forward to this hour on Black Vault Radio with Dr. Pugh because there's so much to talk about. Dr. Pugh, let me pass the torch to you. Tell me a little bit about yourself, and please give me the rundown of what Eden is all about.
Well, I have been very much involved with looking about the kinds of things that occur with biblical prophecy and some of the things that are kind of unique going on in the world that we don't have a lot of explanations for, and that includes the UFO phenomena. And at the same time, while I was growing up, I experienced a couple of what I call UFO or unidentified flying objects in my lifetime that just really did not make a lot of sense. And so throughout my life, I've been trying to find answers to the questions that I had growing up as to what I had seen. And over the course of years in my studies, I began putting the pieces together that really came about in the books that I have actually written, the first one being Antichrist, the Cloned Image of Jesus Christ, and then the newest book that has just come out that's called Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil 666. In the last book, in Eden, I take you from the beginning of time until the end of time, and within those pages of this research, I go into great detail about UFOs and how I feel that they will play a major role in what we're going to see as far as end-time prophecy happening within this generation. So that is kind of the complete scenario about how I got involved in the kind of research where I'm at as far as the UFOs are concerned. So I have really looked forward to being able to share the research that I've been able to do for probably the last 30 years, really hopefully with the world, so that people can get a better grip on what is really going on and how it all kind of comes together to form one big picture.
Now, it seems to me that the UFO topic is definitely part of the big picture, but the picture that you're painting in your book is much larger, not only dealing with UFOs, but many other things. If you could summarize so we understand the message of the book, what is that message?
Well, the intent is actually for me to be able to kind of unmask what I believe is a sinister goal that has been hidden throughout the course of history and mm-hmm. kind of run parallel to our known history that we hear about, you know, when we study history in school. But there's been a lot of undercover kinds of things that have been happening that's been hidden from the general public. And I guess I'm trying to expose some of those things so that we understand the whole picture and not just half of the picture. And when I studied for my doctorate degree, I was involved with some things that were talking about third wave and paradigm shifts, and I began to see how people were going to be actually changed from having a creativity about themselves to be focused toward one particular, let's say, mass training or brainwashing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that after doing a little of the research about that there was some correlation to maybe how we had all been manipulated and patterned through the course of our years of growing up and going to school and that kind of thing, that we weren't really given the whole picture. And so my research really starts you in the Garden of Eden, and it talks about where Cain actually separated off and started building the architectural structures of towns and that kind of thing, and how his lineage became really the masters of, let's say, musical architectural capabilities, being able to work with metallurgy, alchemy, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then carrying you through the Great Flood into what a lot of people have found quite interesting, and that is the Sumerians and how much of the clay tablets that have been found in the Mesopotamia area deal with extraterrestrial kinds of things. And so I try to tie that in as to what actually started in the beginning, what has been with us all this time. Who were those sages that came in and taught Sumerians great civilization skills? And where can we kind of pinpoint from that point in time, where has it gone?
So it sounds like you're really trying to. It sounds like you're really trying to focus on a part of history, or a take on history that really is kind of on the fringe, so to say.
It's definitely on the fringe, and a lot of people can say, "Well, that seems like you're more looking for a conspiracy." And I say, "Well, you know, I don't want to really say it's a conspiracy. I actually believe it's a parallel history that really, if you do the research on it, and that's what I've tried to do in my work, is to show that there is a parallel history that's run side by side all the way down from the Garden of Eden, will carry us all the way into the end of time, that's a set course. And, you know, it encompasses, my work encompasses everything from, you know, the giants, from the time of them coming upon, actually what I call fallen angels, who came upon Earth's daughters and had children. You know, and I try to explain how that particular thing may tie in a lot with what we are actually calling alien abductions, and where women have had knowledge that they were pregnant, and then the fetus goes missing,
mm-hmm.
and they've had experiences where they, you know, were taken out of their bedrooms and that kind of thing. And if you go back through history, you see this having happened not only in what we call alien abductions, but there's been research that shows that when there were things like fairies and things that the Druids were involved with, back with the Celtic days, where you had these unusual little beings that would show up, it's not something that just started happening in today's world. It's actually been going on really since the time of the Sumerians, when they talk about that these people showed up that they didn't know, that were half reptilian and half human. And so you've got to be able to tie together who was that, and how has that continued to manifest itself through history.
Now,
and I'm trying to do that with my research.
And you're going all the way back to biblical times, and it looks like from the rundown all the way to present time. And it's interesting to hear you talk about the extraterrestrial presence. And I wanted to point this out in the very beginning of the show, but your background is really incredible. You've got an associate degree in pre-law from South Georgia College, a Bachelor of Science degree in Health and Physical Education from Valdosta State University. Do I have that pronounced correctly?
That's right.
A Master of Education degree in Guidance Counseling and Psychology from the same university, and a doctorate degree in educational leadership from Nova Southeastern University. I never like to read biographies because I like to kind of just speak from the top of my head, but I had to read that because that's amazing that you have this background, and it's very rare for somebody with that background to go out on a limb and say, yes, you know what, the extraterrestrial presence is here, and I don't want to speak for you, but it sounds like you're saying it's here, and it's really played a big role in our human evolution. Is that safe to say?
Yes, I totally believe that, and probably having had my own experiences of seeing these unusual craft, you know, I've never been a part of an alien abduction, but having actually seen what I cannot explain in a craft, you know, doing specific maneuvers and disappearing and manifesting itself, those kinds of things, I guess many people say, well, you know, seeing is believing. And a lot of people may laugh and say, oh, it's just tabloid, this, that, and the other. But, you know, once you actually see something in the sky, that you cannot really say that that could have been possibly a human being doing that,
mm-hmm.
then it really makes you stop and try to say, now, I've got to find another answer to what, you know, what I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I've always wanted to know the truth. From the time I was a child, I have always wanted to know the truth, and it bothers me greatly when I feel like that there is so much that we have been not allowed to know about. And some people say, well, you know, the government does that to keep you from maybe panicking or whatever. I'm the kind of person, I want to know the truth. It doesn't matter what it is. I just want to know the truth. And I think that's the way I approach my research. I don't go in there already having maybe a preconceived idea. I want to really find the truth about what's going on. And like I say, having seen these UFOs and seen them pretty, you know, pretty close and observe some of the capability that they are able to do makes one really wonder whether the human level of technology is anywhere near that. And from what I have seen, you know, that's actually visible to us, that, you know, that's out there, it doesn't come close to it. And I know we have black budgets, and I know that we have things that are hidden from, you know, public knowledge, but the capability of these craft that I've seen far exceeds anything that I would even think we're capable of, human-wise,
developed. The book is called Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil, 666. We're talking to Dr. Joy Pugh. Now, Dr. Joy, let me ask you, you've done a lot of research into these topics. What was the primary resource for that research? What are you looking into?
Well, you know, I guess I really wanted to know how it all began, how it's all going to end. And I have always believed, since I was a child, I had a dream when I was about 6 years old, that I felt that I saw the end of the world. And, of course, when I was growing up, there was no, you know, what I would say, violent kind of TV programs like they are today that would have made a six-year-old have a dream like I had. So I always felt like over the years that that dream just would stick with me, and I would try to find out, you know, looking through books and reading the Bible. And finally, when I became, I guess, able to really understand Revelations at about the age of 13, I was just struck that what I had seen in that dream had a lot to do with that particular book. So throughout the course of my life, I had been trying to piece together the puzzles because I felt that I would see all of this happen. And so far, the kinds of things that I saw have come to pass. Mm-hmm. And each day, it's like I've got this huge, you know, puzzle out there, and all the pieces are actually falling together. And now there's only a couple of pieces left, and you can see the entire picture of what I saw when I was a child. So I guess that's been the driving force behind this, and at the same time, having experienced, like I say, and seen UFOs with my very own eyes, then I'm like, there is something out there, and I want to know what it is. And so I have tried to find out, was there anything in the past in history that would make us understand better what the future holds for us? And I think that's been the driving force behind it, having seen these things and having studied these things and having had the dream.
What do you think the biggest shred of evidence of that in the past is?
Well, I think the biggest thing that makes me believe that the fallen angels are really the aliens that we are dealing with is that if it was some species coming to this planet to look or whatever, and people say, well, why don't they land, you know, on the White House lawn? I don't think they need to do that or can do that. And the reason I feel that is that when we look at the Bible and we find that when Jesus began to do his ministry on earth, the first encounters or the first things he dealt with was with the demonic activity. And he spoke to those beings, and they spoke back to him. And I'm like, we try to say, well, those things are not there today. We don't look at, demonology quite the same or like we should, I guess. But I feel like there was something going on in those days. And so I really feel that if you don't try to, I guess, handle what we already have in history and put it in perspective, then you can't understand what the future holds for us.
Dr. Joy, I've got to put you on hold. That music means we've got to go to a break. Fascinating material with Dr. Joy Pugh. Check her out online, www.drjoye.com. We'll be right back, right here on DVRM. Welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. I'm your host, I'm not a doctor. I'm your host, John Greenwald. I'm talking to Dr. Joy Pugh. Dr. Joy, I'm so sorry I had to jump in there and cut you off in mid-sentence, but we're talking a little bit about your book, Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil 666, and the massive amounts of research that you have done in that, and also your belief that there's maybe an extraterrestrial link to our past and maybe our evolution, and you've not only seen stuff yourself, but you were talking a little bit about understanding that evil and going back to the time of Jesus, so please let me throw it back to you and kind of let you finish your thought there.
Well, I think that it's just that he was dealing with something that was here, and I feel like we know that the Bible does talk about that Satan was cast out of heaven and that he was placed upon this earth in some form or fashion that we really can't say that we can see or have seen, but yet we have people who are telling us, or people that maybe I have counseled that have told me that they have seen these particular entities and the grossness and the unusual looks of these kinds of things that maybe come into the room and do these things to them or whatever. I'm like, if that's the case, then these are probably the same things that have been here all the time. And I think shutting the door into, let's say, a religion, saying, well, I don't want to deal with UFO phenomena, or you have the scientific people saying, well, I don't want to deal with the religious aspect of the UFO phenomena, that if you don't look at the whole picture, you're going to miss what's really going on. Now, whether that is an intent to keep us from knowing the truth, it may be. But in my work, in my research, I try to show you how all that is actually correlated to bring the similarities together so that you can understand that what you see on TV and what you read in the Bible and what you hear about as far as the UFOs that people are seeing in the abduction, how that all ties in together and it doesn't leave you going, well, what does this mean or what does that mean? It kind of answers those questions for you.
Well, sticking with the UFO topic, why do you think, I mean, this is such a loaded question when dealing with not only the religious community but the scientific community, why do you think both communities really do ignore this topic? If it is cut and dry, like you say, and if it is, you got to look at the whole picture and it makes sense, because to me it really does too, but to many people out there it might not. Why do you think that these two huge communities are ignoring this topic?
Well, I don't know why it has always been that science and religion wanted to keep themselves completely apart from each other, and that was one thing when my publisher began deciding what genre we were going to place this in, that my book is actually in science and religion, and most people can't believe that I've written a book that's got science and religion in it, but that's what I've done, and I do believe it's important. I don't know why there's such a fight, other than I just know that if you can't show something is scientifically possible, and maybe we think back over the years where you've had, you know, science has, long time ago, someone got sick, they thought, well, you know, that it was an evil spirit, so, and then they developed the microscope, and then all of a sudden they saw the bacteria, and they said, well, this is what's causing you to be sick.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to separate those things out. Well, you know, you can't really stop and say, well, the religious group saying that it was not a bacteria, that it was actually demonic activity. We don't know what capability the bacteria has response to whatever could be sent. And I guess what I'm trying to say is you can't be so blinded by a particular thought process that you can't see the forest for the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And too many times, especially in education, if you're going to be studying, let's say to be a science teacher, they just take you right down the science path, but they don't broaden you enough to see the whole picture. And that being the religious side as well, you know, they focus on only the religious, but they never let you look at the scientific facts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually hurt, I think it's hurt us to get a better understanding of what's going on, because I believe if the two would come together, John, that there would be a lot more understanding about what really, really is going on, instead of it being one group's focus in this way and one group's focus in that way.
Yeah.
It may be an intent. I mean, it may be the way that the world is set up to keep us from knowing the whole truth until right to the end, because in the end, And what I'm showing in my research is it's going to come together in such a magnitude that you will just not believe how science and religion are just going to get smacked head right together.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, and I'm very curious on your thoughts if that's going to happen anytime soon. We're already at the bottom of the hour here on the Black Vault Radio. Check Dr. Joy out online, www.drjoye.com. Order her book, Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil 666. Well worth it. Almost 500 pages of her research and thoughts. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. I am your host, John Greenwald Jr. We're talking to Dr. Joy Pugh, author of Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil 666. Check her out online. Highly encourage you to do so. www.drjoye.com. Make sure you have Joy spelled J-O-Y-E.com. Now, Dr. Joy, it's been fascinating as we fly by here. Before the break, we're talking a little bit about the religious community and the scientific community and how they're ignoring this extraterrestrial slash UFO topic. And in your words, it's going to be some explosive happening when they actually do come together. Now, let me ask you, do you think that that wall is going to come down that separates the acknowledgement of the UFO topic and the scientific and religious community? I know that that is a very loaded question, but do you think that that's going to happen anytime soon, or are the ramifications of when it does is just going to be huge, but God only knows, pardon the pun, when it's going to happen?
Well, I actually have a timeline, and my research shows you, again, like when I say that I take you from the Garden of Eden to the end of time, I've got a timeline, and it shows how those things are going to come to pass. I do believe that within the next 5 years that we are actually going to see that happen. And I believe as well that there is going to be a type of cataclysmic activity that's going to occur in this world that's going to force the issue for people to come together and try to decide what is going on. It's a terrible thing that something like that would have to happen to make us open our eyes, but that is exactly what's going to happen.
Now, is this event going to force us to acknowledge the UFO issue, or is this a much grander issue that you're talking about?
It's going to be a much grander issue, because what it's going to show you is that there's going to be such catastrophic things that are going to occur that the UFO when what I believe are fallen angels, let me really express that I do believe, just like Barry Dowling and some of his work that he's done, I fully believe that these aliens that we are experiencing are fallen angels. And I believe that they will be used near this cataclysmic kind of thing that's going to happen with our world in such a way that you will not know truth versus a lie. And that is a part of what the Bible says will happen in those end times.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really blown away, really, when Revelation actually tells you, and I'll quote it, it says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet." And it says, "For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and to the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty," and that being the battle of Armageddon. Well, from the research, from the people that I've dealt with and counseled that have seen what they believe were aliens, they will describe them as very frog-looking. And I just find it very strange that what they describe and what our Bible and Revelation says will happen, that we are going to see those beings be a part of end-time prophecy.
Very interesting. Now, let me back up, and I want to make sure I phrase this question correctly, but if you believe that the extraterrestrial or / UFOs that are being seen are fallen angels, is it accurate to say then your belief is these are not other living entities that evolved somewhere else in a scientific way to say it? They just kind of sprouted on a planet similar to ours and then grew to the race that they grew to? Is this much more of a spiritual way to talk about extraterrestrials?
Well, I really believe that they have been with us from the time of the Garden of Eden. And I do believe that they actually have manifested themselves in such a way that they had actually offsprings and children. And the Bible specifically says those were men of great renown, and it talks about the Nephilim, and of course we know those were giants and those kinds of things. So I feel like when the giant was actually died, that it released a demonic being because it did not have a soul. So, you know, you've got to figure out, now we have not the capability as humans to understand the spiritual realm like we do the physical realm that we can see, touch, and feel,
mm-hmm.
that there is a ongoing spiritual battle that is out there that we cannot see. So I do believe that some of the fallen angels, demonic beings, they're different in nature, but yet they've always been here. So as far as someone saying, you know, could they go to Venus? Could they go to Saturn? They could. I mean, the spiritual realm, because I have no knowledge of the spiritual realm, that it may be forever out there. They can come and go like they want to. But I do believe that they do reside here, and the Bible specifically says that Satan has the power of the air. So I believe more there, instead of extraterrestrial, they're more terrestrial, but they can be extraterrestrial, if that makes sense.
Is it like this epic battle between good and evil, if that's one way to put it?
And unfortunately, I think that humanity is, we've really been in a little bit of a family feud. You know, we want to laugh about it, but I really feel like that there is something very unique about us as human beings, because if it would take a good person and an evil being to want our souls this bad, then we're a little more special sometimes than I think that humans give ourselves credit for, because there's something very special to think that these things would be attempting to do or manipulate our history, or be a part of us, or try to bring a downfall of our world. And some people say, well, how can you feel like the fallen angels would be a part of telling someone that they were going to be healed, or if they were going to save the planet? And in my research, I try to show you that the only way for the fallen angels to maintain the level of where they are right now is for Earth never to blow up, and the people of the world never to die out, because the moment that the second coming or Jesus comes back or God comes back, then the kind of the jig is up for them. In other words, there is nothing else for them after that point in time. So it's important for them to tell abductees, you know, well, you need to save the planet and you need to care about nature and those kinds of things. But you also understand that paganism and where the fallen angels were, I guess, involved in teaching a spiritual side, not religious side, like I would say we would have with Christianity or whatever, but the paganism religions or spirituality that would be more of, you know, green man worship or theosophy and those kinds of things, that they would want us not to destroy the planet because they want to maintain and continue to do what they're doing. If that ever stops, then that for them stops as well.
It sounds to me that, you know, I want to ask you about intent. It sounds to me that their message is intending good, but the reason why they're saying the things they are for more of the evil.
Well, it's kind of a selfish thing, and of course we go back and I explain in my book that Cain was actually the son of Satan. And if you think about the first thing that Cain did was his jealousy and selfishness, that he turned around and killed Abel because he was so selfish in what he was wanting. He didn't give to God first. He gave to God when he wanted to. And it's kind of the same message that's gone through history that I hear many, many times. Abductees say that, you know, when they deal with these beings, they're telling them these same kinds of things. And I'm like, you know, it's interesting to me that that's been the same message from Eden that it is today.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do believe that there is a battle of that good and evil. And unfortunately, a lot of people think that when you say, well, they were looking out for good, there is such a thing as what I call white magic and black magic, but mm-hmm. both of them are magic. They may appear one good and one bad, but they're both from the same wrong side of the railroad track, kind of. They're still not the total good side.
Now, what kind of forces are at work here that kind of keeps this knowledge suppressed? Because it's not like you go into a university and start studying religion or history and you hear this sort of take on it. Do you believe that there's a reason why that this isn't widely spread?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I think it's because it goes back to the seeing is believing. You know, we can't call up a UFO and say, show up tomorrow and at 2 o'clock to the university and we're going to show everybody that you know, are a spiritual being and this is what's going on. But yet we have the records that actually prove that these things were there. I mean, you know, but it's just not talked about because it can't be like, I can show you today that this UFO is there and this is what it is. It's always been that, I hate to say, but our education is based on, if you can't see it, you can't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's kept really the universities from really promoting trying to figure it out. And I think it goes back even when before there were such things, you know, as electricity and things like that, people thought it was strange for you to be trying to do those kinds of things, mm-hmm. that it was just like you were working with the devil or whatever. It again has to be that you have to prove in a scientific paper that this happens. Now, you and I both know, because you do the research, that there's plenty of documentation out there regarding what's going on with UFOs. But if we could just, you know, pull up a UFO and say, here it is, and I want everybody to come and let's go through it, then everybody would believe it.
Right.
But because we're so limited as to what we can show, and if we're dealing with a spiritual realm, and if there are, let's say, hybrids, like Dr. Jacobs and Bud Hopkins say, you know, have been occurring, then, you know, they could be in some of the most important positions in our world government to keep us from ever getting to that point. And you know, my work, my research does show that I believe that has happened.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me, you know, we're dealing with the much broader message of your book, Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil, 666. I want to kind of zero in before we run out of time on a little of the specifics. And you sent me a list of the topics that you deal with in the book, and it's a wide range. And that's why I urge everybody to go to Dr. Joy, spelled DrJoye.com, to check out the book and order it, almost 500 pages of material. And in this list, as I'm going through it, a few things stick out in my mind, and I just want to throw them out there for a sake of discussion. You do start with, again, going back to the time of Cain and going through much of the biblical era, but one point stuck out to me. Has Jesus already been cloned? Now,
That's a whole new topic. It'd probably take 3 hours
to
go through, John. But yes, I actually, in my research, show you the scientific method that was used to take what I believe were blood samples from the Shroud of Turin that the Roman Catholic Church keeps very well preserved, and how those DNA factors were, I guess, shown that they could manifest itself into it was a man. And I just really go through the complete details of how I believe that has happened, and how that man is alive walking on this earth right now.
That's interesting to me. And do you think in your research that this is really a clone by what we would think of being an exact copy, and maybe someone with the same powers or somebody with the same makeup? Or is this, you know, maybe a clone in a physical nature, but definitely not the man as Jesus would be, if that makes sense?
Okay, what, and really the research that I do in the book really does explain this in great detail, in that when you develop a clone, it is a identical. It's not really a twin. It's an identical being. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, that he took his body with him.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he was transfigured, or he was changed. But his blood, what's on that shroud, if you take and you clone it, it equals to having a holographic body or an image that does not have a soul. Because a soul, there is no DNA, there is no gene for a soul. So therefore, the soul is not within that body. That is the only way that the Antichrist can live on this earth, is in a body with no soul. And I take you back through the Talmud, back in ancient kind of Jewish teachings, about the belief that you could grow what they call beasts that had no nesma, and that was no soul. And I believe that that's what has been the whole intent from the Garden of Eden, was to be able to develop an image or an icon, because in Revelation, John actually uses the word in the Greek is icon. And the only way that you can get an icon, that's a famous person, would be to clone it. And my research fully points to that has occurred, that man is alive, and that he will one day, because of the blood that's running through his veins, be able to prove that he will sit in the newly built temple in Jerusalem that is presently being, I guess, prepared by the new Sanhedrin that have just developed after the first of the year last year.
Now, are you saying that would be the Antichrist, or that is the second coming of Jesus Christ?
No,
or
that would be the Antichrist. That would be the Antichrist, because Jesus promised his disciples that when he left, he would return in the sky as they watched him leave. But the birth of a cloned image will fulfill what the biblical scripture says would be the abomination of desolation when the Antichrist sits in the temple of God. And we know that Jesus called his body a temple. And he told the Pharisees that they made, you know, that in 3 days he would rebuild that temple back up, and they thought he was talking about the temple there, like where Herod's temple and King Solomon's temple was. He was talking about his own body. also the only way for the Antichrist to actually walk into the temple and proclaim himself to be God is to be in the temple of God. And I believe that's why the shroud, the blood and things that were actually clone was to give him a vehicle to do exactly what I think he's going to do, and that's proclaim himself Messiah to the world.
And then what?
Once he does that, of course, we know that the Bible says that there'll be 7 years of tribulation, and during that time, you know, there could be a rapture of the church. Some people believe it may be in the first part of the 7 years. Some believe that it could be halfway through, and some believe that we may go all the way to the end. But the timeline is set up, and I show this in my research, to coincide not only with the 2012 Mayan calendar, but also with the oracles and the cathedrals that were built by the Knights Templar on oracle sites that will actually match the oracle name. In other words, if it was an oracle site to the sun will match and the different planets will match on the middle of 2018-2019. And that's about a seven-year period from 2012 to 2019. So I believe that person in that image will walk into the temple that will be actually rebuilt by 2012 and proclaim himself to be the Messiah halfway through that particular time period.
And that brings up one of my last questions, and we're coming up to the last break here on the Black Vault Radio with Dr. Joy Pugh. Check her out online, www.drjoy.com. Joy is spelled J-O-Y-E. The book, fascinating material, is called Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil, 666. And I can say safely that not only is it fascinating, it's a little scary. Check it out online. Also, check out theblackvault.com for more information on Dr. Joy's books, how to contact her, and all sorts of good stuff. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. This hour just flew by. There's so many things to talk about with Dr. Joy Pugh, author of Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil 666. And we got all the way from the time of Cain, and now we're at 2012 and 2018. I'm sorry, yeah, 2012 and 2018, Dr. Joy. And my last question to you before I lose you to the constraints of time is, if this happens, and you believe it that it's going to, in 2012 or 2018, a lot of people propose that the Mayan calendar ends and that's going to be the end of the world. There's a lot of different conspiracy theories out there. Is that the end of the world? I mean, is that, I hope that question sounds right, but is that the end?
Well, I believe, you know, the world is a different, I kind of feel different about that. I actually call it the end of the age. I think it will end everything that we have ever known that ever was as we know it. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. The Bible acts like that after that period of time that there will be a thousand-year reign of peace for the people that, I guess, has followed the tradition of accepting Jesus Christ. If that's the case and that happens, then I guess if you are not a part of that, then, you know, my question is, what happens to you if you do not believe? I think that's a choice that you have to make, and I kind of leave my book with that choice to you, that if I've presented this information to you, and that's what I wanted to do, to educate you on what's out there and what's been going on, to leave you with that choice. If this is going to happen, do you choose to do what? Follow this, you know, type of thinking or this type of thinking or whatever, it becomes our individual choice. And I have always believed that I want to know the whole story so that I can make an informed decision. And so I present my research to you so that you can make that informed decision, so that you're not left going, well, gee, I didn't know all this was going on, or I didn't, nobody ever told me this, or I didn't know this is what this meant. My intent as an educator is to present this research so that, like I say, you can make an informed choice about, if this is going to happen, where do I want to stand in all this?
Fascinating. Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil, 666, drjoy.com, J-O-Y-E.com. Dr. Joy, what is on your agenda? Unfortunately, we're running out of time, but I wanted to know, are you on the lecture circuit now? Do you go around lecturing? Where can people see you? And other than your website, how can people get in contact with you?
Well, if they'll go to the website, they can email me from the website. Be glad to let them know about what will be coming up. I've got some book signings that are coming up in Athens, Georgia on December the 8th up at Borders from 2 to 4 in the afternoon. And then I'm going to be on Dr. Gianni Hayes' radio show, theamericanvoice.com, November, I believe it's November the 26th, from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And there's some other things that are going on as well, but if they're interested in contacting me, they can email me, and I'd be glad to let them know where I'll be. And if they're interested in having me come, you know, talk or do whatever in their area of the country, if they'll just let me know, I'd be glad to talk with them about that.
And your email, Dr. Joy, again, drjoye at charter.net. Dr. Joy at charter.net. Dr. Joy, this has been a very informative hour. It's very intriguing material. Your book, Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil 666, can be ordered right now. Almost 500 pages of explosive material. I mean, this is really fascinating material. DrJoy.com. Dr. Joy, thank you so much for joining me here on BVRN, the Black Vault Radio. It's truly been a lot of fun talking with you.
Thank you, John.
Absolutely. And thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you next time right here on BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. We'll see you then.